Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and jaw with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
All right, welcome to The Long Take. January 8th, we're doing a little recap of the Golden Globes, which obviously were last night. Not a ton of very interesting things happen, I would say. And the thing with the Golden Globes is it's just kind of a big party. It's not super consequential to actual award shows like the Oscars. But it's fun to talk about end-of-year award stuff. I just like to do it.
Yeah, like, I know people are always, like, shitting on award shows, and obviously for good reason. Yeah. Last night was fucking terrible. Terrible. Yeah. But I can't look away, and I love watching them. I love the pageantry. Yeah. You're always good for at least a few moments. Last night, more than a few. I don't know. I love it. Like, they're stupid and admittedly don't matter, like, at all. Like, if you like a movie, that's really should be the only justification in your mind. And the awards are obviously, like, nice to have, but they don't matter. Like, this is all just for fun. Like, just have some fun with it. Don't take it seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. I figure we could run through some of the just the winners, I guess. But we should start with just, man, dude, Joe Coy just had a rough day.
Dude,
rough day at the office.
An all time bad performance.
And I gotta say, it's funny too, because like we watch it and we're like, oh, maybe it's not as bad. Maybe the temperature in the room is a little bit better. But like people were tweeting that were there were like, this is as bad as I've ever seen a comedian bomb ever in person.
Yeah.
And that's just.
I mean, I've gone to like the comedy session, like East Village, and seen 22-year-olds on their third set ever do better than that. Mm-hmm. And he is a professional comedian with specials.
He just did a movie last year.
Dude, insane. And like he was immediately done for when he got 3 minutes in, a few of the jokes bombed, and he immediately threw his writers under the bus.
Yep.
Like that was the quickest way to lose the room. Oh my God. Yep. What a fucking idiot.
Yep, threw him down so quickly. And like he said, he's like, I only had 10 days to prepare for this. If that's true, that sucks.
Yeah, just no say question. That. I only had 10 days to prepare. If some of these jokes aren't up to par, blame me. Like, don't say blame the writers. Like, we just got out of a strike.
That or decline. Like, just like if you get 10 days notice to do a full set, and like, are you confident enough you could write a full set in front of all the biggest stars in Hollywood in 10 days?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you don't think you can do it, just say no.
Yeah, it'd be easier and better for you to say no than to try and,
It was like when he said that Barbie joke, jokes. 1 minute in, it's like, it's based on a movie about a doll with big boobs. It's like, oh my God.
It was like he was winging it, you know, like, cause the jokes, they didn't have punchlines. They were like, they're almost like, I don't know. Did you watch Tommy Smoke's fake stand-up?
Yes. Yes. That was exactly what it was like.
It was like fake jokes, like someone wrote those jokes for him in order for him to bomb on purpose.
Dude, it got so bad at one point where, and not even at one point, like pretty much once he got like 3 minutes in, that's when he had lost the room. When he was saying people's names, you could see the look of terror on their faces, not because they thought they were gonna get roasted, but they were like, this dude's bombing. I do not want my name coming out of his mouth. Absolutely not.
The Swift one was rough.
Swift one was rough.
That wasn't even really like a joke. Like, we're gonna pan to Taylor Swift West.
The
NFL football.
I mean, he had a terrible Oppenheimer joke to lead things off. He was like, it's so long. It's like, it wasn't even like that long, was it? Like, definitely didn't feel that long. He had a Killers of the Flower Moon, like, white people joke that was really fucking weird, considering like how much effort was put to, like, into like making it as much of a like Native American story as possible. Like, Scorsese was pissed at that joke. Oh my gosh, there was so many bad parts. Yeah, Gaffigan. People are saying Gaffigan. I'm not the biggest Gaffigan guy. My parents love him. Obviously, I think most people's parents in Middle America loves him. I thought he was good enough to take the show over.
I think that his jokes, like, there are multiple times where, and this is like the worst thing reaction I think that you could have, I could have to your joke. It's like a lot of times where I just suck in my teeth and I'm just like,
ooh, yeah.
And like, there's the most awkward moments. And there are so many funny people in Hollywood that you could get to host something like that. And if you're like, if they were really reaching like 10 days notice type of thing, then obviously they wouldn't have gotten them. But you have dudes in there that could do like legit stand-up sets, people that are more, I guess, entrenched in the Hollywood world to do that sort of thing, or at least have relationships with these people. Like, I feel like Joe Coy is not really at that level that he's part of those groups. And so it's even weirder for him to be making fun of them. Like, Gervais has been around forever. He's done it a million times. Like, it makes sense for him, something like him to do it. But
I mean, Gervais clearly doesn't want to be there. I mean,
he didn't even show up for his own award, which we could talk. We're going to talk about.
We'll talk about that award, which was insane.
It's not is as bad as everyone's saying. He bombed. He bombed really bad in front of the tens of people watching around the world, and then also all the celebrities that he was around. And like, the jokes are about the celebrity. So when you bomb in a joke that is like about somebody, it's almost like you're watching, like, sometimes in the roasts, like when like somebody's bombing, when they try to insult somebody, like the guy that tried to roast Jamie Foxx. It's like motion when you attack, when you're trying to roast somebody and you're failing, you're bombing at it. It is like, just, I don't know how to explain. It's like 10 times worse than a regular bomb at a joke. And that just made it way weirder. But yeah, it was real. I don't know who else you could have.
Host the Globes?
I'm trying to think of like who I'd prefer to have do it. Especially when you have
Shane Gillis.
Yeah, Shane Gillis would be great. But then like,
he really would be a great host.
It's weird to say, but he's too small for that crowd. You know what I mean? Like, you need someone that's famous enough that and entrenched in that world enough that he knows some of these people. And I don't know who it is. Like, in my perfect world, it would obviously be Shane, or it would be like Stav or someone like that, like just a good comedian. But in reality, you need someone like Ricky Gervais or someone who's just more established and just like, I guess, rich too. They need to be like powerful enough that they can make these shots and not Joe Coy.
Billy Crystal really was the perfect host for so many reasons. Like, he was funny enough, but like, he just got along with everyone.
Yeah. It's Chappelle. Yeah. I mean, Chappelle would be good, but Chappelle's the last few,
Chappelle would get up there and do, like, I mean, no offense to Ricky Gervais, who I also like, but it's like I'm going to get canceled. Yeah. You guys aren't going to like this one. He's been doing a lot of that lately.
Every comedian has for the last 5 years.
I think Chappelle's the greatest, but
but every comedian has fallen into that trap of like doing that bit of, oh, I can't say this or I'll get canceled. Everyone says I'm going to get canceled. It's like that line of joke is so gross.
Yeah, it's like it's just fun. 2014 humor.
Yeah, and I doubt he would do that, but I would assume he would make good jokes about people. And he's one of those people where like he's rich enough and he's established enough where he can make any joke he wants. Yeah. In a similar way to Gervais, but I think he would be almost even meaner. So I don't know. He also did a pedophile joke, right? Or was that? No, that was Gaffigan. Gaffigan's was good.
Yeah, Gaffigan was the only one to do a pedophile joke. I think a lot of the presenters were terrible too.
Yeah, that's true.
They were bad.
The Suits bit was
cringy. That was my God.
That was uncomfortable. A lot of people seemed like they were.
He had a decent joke when he got up there,
which
was a stupid bit to have them come up, but his joke, what was it? It was like, nice. You'd hate to see.
Until later. Yeah. And there's a couple other ones too, where it felt like the presenters only were seeing what they were supposed to be reading for the first time when they got on stage.
I don't even think Kevin Costner saw the
dude. Kevin Costner had no idea what was going on.
Costner didn't know where he was.
He was on fucking Pluto, dude.
Who was presenting with him?
Yeah, it was America Ferrera.
Yeah, she was so confused on what was happening with Kevin Costner.
And everyone was like laughing at him. And then he's like trying to say something sincere, but like it's obviously he didn't write it. He's just like reading it, and it's just very weird. So, that was really weird. I forgot about that. It's just awkward. Who's
presenting the Oscars?
Yeah, this is crazy. They were presenting an award to the Succession cast, basically. It's fucking crazy. But yeah, there is a lot of bizarre to me, a lot of weird stuff to me. Carcerus Bart, I don't get it. But yeah, he was in a rough spot. A lot of the other ones were too. It just, again, it felt like watching bad actors, because they're reading these lines off the teleprompter. And it, again, it felt like no one showed them the lines they were going to read ahead of time.
No.
Like, they just went on stage and were just presented with it for the first time, what they were supposed to say.
Oh, Kevin Costner is barred the fuck out.
Barred the fuck out. Yeah, yeah, no, he was
someone QB sand backstage.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, Kimmel would be good too. Yeah. But he was doing, yeah. Is he doing Oscars? No, but I'm saying
he'd be good at that.
He's safe for that.
Oh, yeah. He's hosting the Oscars.
Yeah, but he's safe for that, which is good.
Yeah.
Mask Alka is not big enough. You need someone big enough. Again, this is like, it's not like a matter of who's the funniest. Because if it was, we would just pick like fucking Shane Gillis or whatever. But like, it's just never going to be the case.
Aaron Rodgers would be a good host. I don't really particularly like Aaron Rodgers, but he's good at that shit.
I wonder how that would work though with Aaron Rodgers, because he doesn't know any of these people, and half of them don't know who he
stays,
is.
He stays up to date on movie stuff.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
How do you know Aaron Rodgers? Say it's up to date on movie stuff.
Because that's who he hangs out. He hangs out in LA. He hangs out with an LA crowd. Like, he's an LA guy.
I don't feel like they know who he is.
I definitely think
like half that crowd.
He's massive.
From dating Shailene Woodley? Like, who else? How else?
I mean, just from being like, he was one of the top. I mean, he's been a top five NFL star for over a decade.
That isn't always a big and important enough thing to them.
Big on commercials.
Bo Burnham would be funny.
He was in Game of Thrones.
Bo Burnham's right on the edge, like the precipice of being big enough. I think he is, honestly, now that he had.
Bo Burnham probably thinks he's above that.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. Not saying he is above that, but Bo Burnham definitely thinks he's above something like that.
Amy Schumer was, yeah. But Amy Schumer was also had a massive show and has a ton of connections to the industry. And
we talked about this before. Amy Schumer was terrible when she hosted.
Yeah.
When she hosted the Oscars, right? Or the Globes. Which one was it?
Globes, right?
Globes. Okay. She was bad and she stole a bunch of jokes, but at least some of those stolen jokes were at least funny.
Yeah.
I would rather Joe Coy should have gotten on Twitter before going up there and figured out some jokes.
He did date Olivia Moon. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, all time sex. Those were hilarious.
This is a great point.
Wait, no, those Olivia Munn sex weren't to Aaron Rodgers.
No, those are Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers would talk about the out of her. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Speaking about Olivia Moon, who would actually be great for this is John Mulaney. He'd be a great host of this.
He would have been really good at this.
He would have been awesome. He'd be perfect for something
this. Probably be when you can get him, too, is when he's still coming back.
Yeah. And he'd have, like, he's perfectly, I think, safe for the most part. He would be, he'd have an edge to him.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be, like, a dick, you know? And he knows a lot of these people. He'd be really good. Yeah. Cena was good at the ESPY. Cena's just really good in general. But he's not funny. The stuff he says is funny, and you need a really good writing team. He's
got good delivery.
Yeah, it's all about his delivery.
I just don't think they can afford, and they're not, it was CBS broadcast.
Yeah.
So, but I do agree, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler together are great.
Kehi Kwan would be good, not as a host, he'd be good as like a sideline guy, you know what I mean?
He's the Sergio Dip of the Golden Globes.
Yeah. He'd be great on that. He was really good in that Bear episode. I think he would just be good as a host. That's
when they got all those Irish people to act like Catholics.
Yeah, exactly. That was fucking crazy. But yeah, that's Joe Coy. Not good. I think people definitely dogpiled a little bit, and they were like, they made it seem, I guess, like it was like the worst thing, worst stand-up that's ever been written ever.
It's like the worst stand-up of all time.
Bad and uncomfortable.
But
this is bad and uncomfortable.
It's one of the worst like live performances I've ever seen hosting.
Really uncomfortable.
I've watched a lot of these shows.
Yeah, extremely, extremely uncomfortable. Okay, yeah, but we can go through some of the winners and losers. Best actress in a supporting role in a movie. Davinjo Randolph won for Holdovers, beat out Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, Julianne Moore, Jodie Foster, and Rosamund Pike. I'll be honest, I think this is the weakest category. I've seen this category in a long time. Best supporting actress. Like, this is... None of these are particularly strong performances. I would say, including Davine Joy Randolph. I think you could argue easily she's the best of that grouping.
Yeah.
And this is where I think you and me differ a lot on Holdovers. I don't think anything from that movie was exceptional, with the exception of what's his name being that good, despite being like an out of nowhere kid.
Dominic Sessa.
Yeah. Him being that good out of nowhere. And I would include that with Davine Joy Randolph. I think she was good. good, I don't think I'm like, oh my God, that's an award worthy performance when I watch that movie.
See, I think all three of the main were fucking fantastic. But this is a weaker category than usual. I actually thought Julianne Moore would sneak in on a win for here, like just because she's that's the Netflix film that's going to be pushed this year. If it comes away empty handed at the Oscars, I will be surprised.
Yeah.
Just because Netflix will run a massive campaign for that movie. But yeah, Devine Joy Randolph, I think, very deserving winner.
Out of this grouping, winner. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm looking at the list now. Yeah, no, it is weaker than it. Usually the supporting categories are just way stronger.
You know what's honestly really good and should have been on here is Viola Davis. I thought Viola Davis was so good in there. In like five seconds of screen time, crushed it.
Yeah,
she absolutely crushed it.
She was great.
Yeah, that was a tough
one. She was good in fucking Hunger Games, I thought.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Color Purple yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought Danielle Brooks was very good in that.
Yeah, she was good in it. Not award worthy.
No.
In the same way that I don't really think any of these, like maybe, like Emily Blunt was really good, but she's not like she's so far down the list of like stars for that movie. It's weird.
Yeah, I rewatched and she's only got like six minutes of airtime. Like,
yeah.
10 minutes. Like that'd be like giving who was the big controversy last year for a nomination in the men's category from Fablements.
What's his name?
Old fuck.
Jeff Goldblum's dad from Independence Day.
Yeah. I mean, it just like, God, that's going to bother me. His name. Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't think she has enough screen time.
Exactly. Yeah. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. RDJ won. That's a no brainer. Beat out Ryan Gosling for Barbie.
This is just a lock.
De Niro for Flower Moon. Charles Melton. Again,
Judd Hirsch is. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Yeah. Judd Hirsch. Yeah. But neither of us understood Charles Melton hype for May December.
Charles Melton.
Don't get it.
Do not get it. It's very much like a Gen Z thing where he was. I think it really is just like a Gen Z thing that's pushing this because like he was on Riverdale. He's obviously a very attractive dude. He was good in May December. I am nowhere near the great territory. Definitely not in the award.
No,
contention category. Close. Like it was a nice performance, but he's getting his ass like kicked by Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman in that movie. They are acting circles around him.
Oh yeah.
I did not. I really still don't get this hype.
Yeah. And they beat Defoe and Ruffalo as well for Poor Things, both of whom I thought were really good.
Yeah, we both shit on Ruffalo. Not shit on Ruffalo. Well, yeah, let's say what
we shit on Ruffalo.
We thought it was like a bad like pick for him, like a bad role for him in this movie, but in Poor Things is what we're talking about. But he was very fucking good. He was very good in Poor Things.
Yes. Honestly, all these actors except for Melton were really good. Just that Melton is the one guy that stands out here as like all of these guys contributed a ton to their respective movies.
I would have gone Sessa. Yeah, like I would have gone Sessa there. If you're going to pick a new guy to put in there, like Melton, I think Dominic Sessa was a lot better than Charles Melton.
Yeah, I don't get any of that. But RBDJ is like a guaranteed winner across every category. He's winning the Oscar too. He's winning.
Yeah, there's like also, yeah, there's like five guys from Oppenheimer you could throw in there too.
Exactly. Best performance by an actress in a limited series. Ali Wong won for Beef. Beef is going to win any award involving this too. Beat Brie Larson in Lessons in Chemistry. I didn't watch that. Riley Keough. I was afraid I would pronounce it. And Daisy Jones and the Six didn't watch that either. Elizabeth Olsen, Love and Death. Did watch that. Think she was good. The show was not very good. Juno Temple in Fargo. She is crushing it.
Oh, is she?
She's so good in Fargo. Unbelievable.
So I won't lie. When I first saw the pictures of her in Fargo, I was like, doesn't really fit.
Her
like,
Minnesota she's so accent British. Is unreal. It's so good. It's like perfection. And then Rachel Weisz in Dead Ringers, who I didn't watch that either. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, so I haven't watched most of them.
But Ali Wong was incredible.
I watched Beef, and she was incredible in Beef. Yeah. A lot better than Riley Keough was in Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yeah.
Which kind of surprised me she was in there. But very deserving. Beef sweeping its categories makes sense. I did think the hype had maybe die down.
Yeah.
Because it came out so long ago. I almost forgot that it was in this year's awards. Yeah. But yeah, no, Beef winning is very deserving.
Yeah, I agree. But Fargo, man, she is. More people should be watching Fargo because this is such a rebound season. It's crazy. It's so good. But yeah, Ali Wong, Beef. I will say before we'll get into the stand-up category later. I think as far as uncomfortable stand-up specials go, Ali Wong's last special is up there with one of the most uncomfortable ones I've ever watched.
Which related to that, because obviously you always, I didn't watch that special, but you've talked about how she just brings up the fact that she was fucking other men while still married to her husband.
No, it's an hour long special about how she wants to fuck other men and hates her husband's guts.
Yes.
And then she divorced her husband like a week after the special came out.
And then you saw last night when she accepts her award for Beef, she kisses Bill Hader, which hard launch. And if you know anything about Bill Hader's reputation in the sheets, that makes this whole stand-up special thing even funnier. And then she gets up on stage and starts thanking her husband.
Yeah, it is.
That's the most Holly weird shit ever. Like, what the fuck is your estranged husband doing at the award show with you?
Yeah, extremely weird shit.
Oh my God.
Best performance by an actor in a limited series. Steven Yeun won for Beef as well. Again, Beef is going to crush in all.
Yeah, I think even more deserving than Ali Wong. He was, because he did a wide range of like different acting.
Yeah, he was all over the place, and it really something, I guess, kind of a performance we haven't really seen from him before, which is cool. Beat Matt Bomer for Fellow Travis. He was good in that. Sam Claflin and Daisy Jones.
That's
in the Six.
Charles Melton. That's a Charles Melton nom. He was, I thought, fucking terrible in that show.
I don't like him in almost anything I've seen him in.
He can't really act.
He plays in the last, not the last season, but the season before the last season of Peaky Blinders. He plays like the Nazi British politician, and he's okay in that. But he did this rom-com I saw that was so bad. He's
so attractive, though. Good Lord.
He also beat David Oyelowo in Law and Bastards. I like Law and Bastards. It's a Paramount Plus, what's his name? Taylor Sheridan show that like no one's going to watch, but I do. He's good in it. It's a weirdly good show. And beat John Hammond Fargo, and then Woody Harrelson White House Plumbers. I didn't watch White House Plumbers, but I think Jeff did. I don't know if you did, but I heard it was okay.
I didn't watch it, but everyone I know who watched it did say Woody Harrelson is the best part of the show.
John Hammond Fargo is so fun. He's the perfect like villain, just absolutely perfect. And him and then what's his name playing his son, Joe Keery playing his son, Bale's son, is such a perfect dynamic. It's it's such a good show. But yeah, actually, we've interviewed Bomer and we've interviewed Oyelowo.
Yep.
And the other three, one day we'll get there, or the other four. But yeah, Steven Yeun is clear and obvious winner. That was an easy one.
Did we talk about T Swift and the girls getting talked? I saw that. I don't really pay attention to any of that, like that kind of pop culture stuff.
So how are they talking shit about? I saw them talking to each other.
They said like Timothy, no way, or something like that. Like they were just gossiping. I don't know. Yeah. Could have been saying anything. Who knows?
Was it just her and
Selena
Gomez? Yeah. All right. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a television series. Elizabeth Debicki won for The Crown. I haven't watched this new season of The Crown yet, but she's just like the perfect Princess Diana. Just looking at her.
Yeah, she looks just like her.
And she's a great actress, so I'm sure it's good. Meryl Streep in Only Murders in the Building. Legacy nom was not that good. Hannah Waddingham in Ted Lasso, Christina Ricci in Yellow Jackets, Abby Elliott in The Bear, J. Smith Cameron in Succession. I think out of this category, I've seen like three of these. Debicki, I'm sure, is fantastic, though.
Yeah.
I don't have enough knowledge to be like critical about
Ricci,
the other ones.
Ricci was good, but the season of Yellow Jackets was just so kind of bad.
I haven't watched it. Everyone always says it's amazing. I haven't watched it yet.
The second season kind of stunk, which kind of hurt them. And then I'm actually surprised J. Smith Cameron. I thought she would. I thought Succession would take everything.
I don't think she didn't. Did she do? Again, it's almost like the what's it called? Emily Blunt and Oppenheimer thing.
Was she
it's
in
like
it
there
enough?
Are all so many other people doing more that like it's hard to rate. I don't know, but I guess that's the whole supporting thing. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. Matthew McFadden in Succession one beat out James Marsden in Jury Duty, which is weird. I don't know how that exactly works. It being like kind of reality TV, but
I was kind of shocked to see that in there. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Happy it got some recognition.
Beat Evan Moss Bacharach, right? Yeah. And Billy Crudup in The Morning Show, Alexander Skarsgård in Succession, Alan Ruck in Succession. I would have given this to Moss Bacharach. I think Evan Moss Bacharach was such a star. And the one episode that like features him with him in the restaurant is like one of the best episodes of TV I've seen in a long time.
I think it was the best of that season.
It was so good. And he was such like a transformative actor in that. Cause like in the beginning, he's kind of like the goofball butt of the joke in the beginning of the series, The Bear. And like his evolution throughout the thing and how it's acted by him is unbelievable. And like Alan Ruck, sorry, pal, no way. You were never touching anything like this.
Oh yeah. Well, that's almost
that's
like
a bizarre
weird nom.
that is like a butt of the joke character. Like he's not doing anything that's worthy of awards. And like Skarsgård, like as like a guest star, yeah. But like supporting actor, it was like, I don't know, man.
I will say when the whole Succession cast got up there last night to accept the big award for best drama series, and they're all up there on stage. My first thought was like, whoever the casting director was for this show deserves every award possible because they all just act. They all just act like who their character is. Like it's just perfect casting, really.
Yeah.
Alan Ruck was up there with like stupid ass sunglasses inside and a cane, a ridiculous over the top cane. And I was just like, that's just Connor.
Exactly. Crewed Up Morning Show. That only person that watches that is Jeff.
Jeff.
That's the only human being that watches that show. And mine again, Mars and don't totally get it. McFadden is really, really good. No doubt. No doubt about it. I just think if you're looking at this group and what they did in these relative or respective seasons, Evan Moss Bacharach is unreal how good he was.
I was fine with either of them winning there.
I don't know, man. Like, what did McFadden do in this last season that is better than what Moss Bacharach did?
I thought he had some fantastic
moments. Question. Better than Evan Moss Bacharach?
Yeah, that one episode where they go onto the balcony of Tim and Shiv talking, I thought that was just incredible.
That doesn't touch anything from that one episode.
Forks was a bad, Forks is like, probably one of the best episodes of the year.
Yeah. And that's like not even necessarily like he was in a supporting role in that episode. He was the star.
Yeah, it was his episode.
He evolved to being the star of the episode and carried the entire thing.
And Olivia Colman. And Olivia Colman.
In 2 seconds of screen time, yeah. I've been trying to catch up on The Crown, and I just finished the season where she was the queen. She's so fucking good.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's so good at everything. Best screenplay in a motion picture, Anatomy of a Fall one. I feel like that's a bit of a surprise.
Was a surprise. I'm happy about it. Very Same. Happy about
Same.
It. Which means like I think it has a shot at the Oscar now.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if this is a thing where they just didn't want to give everything to Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And so like Poor Things or
they also Anatomy they'll separate this in the Oscars into adapted and original. That's so true. It'll be different categories. And I'm pretty sure Anatomy of Fall is original.
Yeah, Anatomy of Fall is original.
So and Oppenheimer came in adapted. And it beat up Barbie, Poor Things, Past Lives, Oppenheimer, obviously, and Killers of the Flower Moon. I I'm with you. I'm happy that it won. I think it was a really good movie. Really good, nice surprise.
Yeah, definitely the strength of the movie was like the script. Like,
yeah.
Just an incredibly like nuanced, like multi-layered script that you think about. I've been thinking about that movie so much. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Like Barbie has like funny lines. I don't think like the monologue in that is so weak.
Yeah, that's the weakest part, and that's the part they keep pushing. And I'm like, that's the one part I would hide.
Yeah, it's the weakest part of the movie. Like the comedy is, I think, where they really shined. Mm-hmm. Like some of those lines were really good, and like you could, on like entertainment value alone, I think you should push for Barbie. Poor Things was awesome, no question.
Yeah,
really, really good script,
and another really cool script.
Yeah, Past Lives was incredible. Really, I won't fall under the radar this year. I think more people are going to catch on to that later and like be bawling their eyes out.
I will say it sucks for Barbie that what's it called came out same year, Poor Things, because it is just kind of like Poor Things does a lot of the stuff Barbie does, but just like a little bit better.
Yeah,
like it's just a little tighter, a little bit more nuanced, and definitely is going to play to like awards voters
for
like
sure.
Taste.
And then Killers of Flower Moon. I never read the book. I know it takes a lot of detours from where the book, because I think the book it centers around the FBI investigation.
Yes,
it's all about that, and from that angle. And this is obviously from the criminals angle. So yeah, I don't know. Movies. The script was really good, and even the non-scripted parts, like the whole. I was watching something like that whole scene in the car. There's a lot of ad-lib lines from Leo, which is
that was all. Yeah,
must mean handsome devil. Some such.
What's that mean?
Moves me nasty. Yeah, and that goofy ass laugh.
I love her laugh. Makes me crack up.
And the sheesh. Best performance by an actor in a TV series, musical, comedy. Jeremy Allen White won for The Bear. Beat Ted Jason Sudeikis, Bill Hader, Jason Segel, Steve Martin, and Martin Short.
Easy I will say, win.
As far as musical or comedy go, Barry was no longer that the last two seasons.
Yeah,
like there are no doubt funny moments. It's just not really. It's more of a drama. It's just the last two seasons of Barry were drama.
I saw people getting mad that the Bear was getting counted in comedy. I'm like, we gotta
absolutely
talk about Barry being in comedy. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And it was, and even Shrinking thrown here, like Only Murders for sure comedy, but like Ted Lasso for sure too. But also all these have dramatic elements. Like,
yeah,
I would say.
But, speaking of Jeremy Allen White, did you watch any of the red carpet?
I didn't see that. You told me about the interview. I didn't watch it yet.
it wasn't just one interview. All right. So if you watched red carpet coverage last night or consumed it on any platform, at some point you probably saw Ayo Edebiri show up with Jeremy Allen White. They're doing the rounds for the Bear. And every single interviewer was just making things so fucking weird about Jeremy Allen White's like Calvin Klein ad. Like they had like cardboard printouts. They were pulling up pictures on their phone and like showing up to Ayo and being like, what do you think of this? And like every time she's just like, that's my coworker. Yeah. So like every time she'd just be like, it's my really coworker. Can we not do this?
Yeah.
Like, but it was like 10 different like publications did the same exact bit. It was so bad.
Yeah. It's just, it's a weird question to ask.
It reminds me of last year with the Pedro Pascal stuff where it's like, daddy, like, isn't he daddy? It's like,
Pedro,
don't you want to fuck him and like suck his cock?
Exactly, dude. It's so like, weird.
I gotta work with this guy.
Why was Ayo shaking in her speech, dude?
I think she was just really nervous.
Yeah, she's like a kind of a nobody for the most part, and is propelled to the biggest, one of the biggest stages for television.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew her coming into this year, unless you were like a big fan of TV.
Yeah, and now she's standing in front of like the biggest stars in Hollywood, accepting an award where she beat out all of her peers. That's like a huge thing.
Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White, I think, is a very valid winner. He is so good. In both seasons of The Bear, I would have given an award to him. He is incredible and like very transformative, because in the only other thing I'd really seen him in was before The Bear was obviously Shameless. And Shameless is just of such a different role.
Yeah.
I mean, a very different type of role. And he's really good in that too. But this is like so a lot of different layers to the character of the Bear. So I think he was very deserving. And like Jason Sudeikis and Ted Lasso, like
once Ted Lasso's final season came out, every award shot it had was over.
Bill Hader is really good in Barry. It was such a dramatic and not funny season though, that I feel like you put this into the dramatic or drama category. Mm-hmm. Jason Segel was very, very good in Shrinking.
Very good.
Very like
Jason Segel is just like an underrated actor.
Yeah.
Like he has range to him.
Yeah, and I love Steve Martin and Martin Short, both amazing as well. But I think that this was Jeremy Allen's to lose just out of this grouping.
I'm also very tired of everyone saying he looks just like Gene Wilder. Like in some pictures, sure. Yeah. Yes. He's not a doppelganger.
Can make him look exactly like him, no question. Like with the right type of wig.
Yes.
And hat, top hat. And there's the one we can really rip on, I think. Best performance in stand-up comedy or television.
Oh. Do the noms first.
Ricky Gervais won for Armageddon, and he beat out Amy Schumer, Chris Rock, Wanda Sykes, Sarah Silverman, and Trevor Noah. Let's be clear, none of these were the best stand-up special.
No.
Not even remotely close. And like I like Ricky Gervais a lot. I watched that stand-up special probably last week. It is for his standard of stand-up comedy, it is incredibly average. Remarkably average. And the rest of these, the Chris Rock special was so bad.
How did these end up?
And the Trevor Noah one, like most of these, like they're not like Wanda Sykes one. That's the only one on this list I hadn't watched, because I watched part of at least like half of Amy Schumer's for the point of ripping on it. And it just wasn't funny enough to even rip on. I think if you look at this, all the stand-up I've watched this year, like Shane Gillis right at the top, and he was repeating jokes on his YouTube special. And even then, 10 times funnier than any of the stuff in any of these other five specials, except for the one to Sex one. Didn't watch that one. Him, Stav, I'd put up there. And he's saying, I did Segura. Not watch Segura's special yet.
But there was a few I watched, I feel like, but I never remember. I think Acaster had a good one, if I remember right. That British guy. Yeah, I mean, like, just these stand-ups. Like, then they don't play clips for any of the movies while they're presenting. And then they do, like, a full minute of these people's stand-up while they're presenting.
None of them were good.
And none of them were good.
None of them were good.
Like, this is the minute you chose? There's not a funny minute you could have picked? Like, because those jokes were terrible. Yeah, it did feel like a lifetime achievement, because I was, like, 10... All these people were, like, famous 15 years ago in the stand-up game. Yeah, except for Schumer. And she was... still 10 years ago was when she was really cooking.
Yeah.
I mean,
and even then, she wasn't really cooking. She was just stealing other people's recipes.
Yeah. I was shocked, those noms. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. These were bizarro. And I feel like this is one where if you're like a normal person watching the clothes for whatever reason, like you're not totally engrossed in this world, and you see these noms and you're into comedy, you get pissed off. And rightfully so, because none of these are good. No one's watching these like comparatively to the actual great stand-ups in the game right now, and that's very frustrating, because like you don't feel like you're like I guess heard in this sense, And like, yeah, I don't know how they're voting because
it's not like the Oscars, I don't think, where it's an industry vote. I'm pretty sure it's just the HFPA voting on it.
Yeah, I didn't watch Bargatze's. I heard it was good too, though.
Which would explain how like some of these noms happened, but
it was unbelievable. I'm still shocked because not shocked because I knew the nominations and stuff like that, but like
I didn't know those noms coming in. I didn't even know that was an award they're doing this year,
dude. And this is so bad because like even the Ricky Gervais one, because that was the most fresh in my mind. The joke they picked was probably the least. It was just a statement.
Yeah,
it was just a statement of fact. It was him saying like, "Yeah, people said I was going to get canceled for this joke."
Yes,
I made
that's
and
what
I
they
didn't.
Did it. Yes,
and like that's not a joke. It was just a statement of fact. Like it was just like not. None of them are good. None of the jokes were even remotely funny, even in a little bit. And that, speaking of like Trevor Noah, what are we doing with Trevor Noah?
I've never.
Are people entertained by Trevor Noah?
Yes. He's got shooters on site. I've seen him on Twitter. They like there's like a Daily Show fan base who are fucking obsessed with Trevor Noah.
I don't get it. I've watched enough of Daily Show, like clips and stuff like that. And like they'll be like, oh, this Daily Show clip is amazing. None of it's funny.
Maybe it's because we grew up with Jon Stewart, who I think is like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, who I think were just like the goats at it.
And I will and to his credit, he's in a way worse spot because like the era he picked up Daily Show.
Yeah,
the Trump era, like it just makes all of your jokes so much harder to make.
Yeah, but still, like JC, I agree. I've never found Trevor Noah particularly funny in any way.
I find him to be like a good, I guess, like storyteller.
Yeah,
maybe, but like as a comedian, no. Like, what is fun? He doesn't have a good delivery in that sense. He doesn't. None of his jokes are like laugh out loud funny.
I guess. I don't know. Oh, he's got that going for him.
I just don't get it. Jon Stewart would be a good host. Yeah, I agree, but he makes it very.
Yeah.
He'd have a lot of things he'd want to talk about.
Yeah.
And a lot of other people probably wouldn't want to talk about, which is a good thing and a bad thing. But yeah, I don't know. That's
what the hell are, what do you mean? What does Chalamet think he's doing with Kylie Jenner?
What is Chalamet doing with one of the richest human beings alive? Yeah. Bizarre one. Yeah, this is pretty true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, yeah, I mean, I saw that too. I saw this when they were doing, like, when they were done with this, they were like, oh
he's doing the Grammys?
The Grammys, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I wasn't going to watch anyway, but, like, it's just another, I would say I'm more entertained to watch, or more interested in watching him than anything else Joe Coy would ever do again.
Yeah.
But yeah, these stand-ups were all bad. Best Motion Picture, non-English language, Anatomy of a Fall won.
Another big one.
Yeah, that was huge. Zone of Interest, I thought was excellent. Mm-hmm. But that was a rougher one. A rough matchup between those two. Society of the Snow, I thought was really good. Watched that on Netflix last week. Very, very entertaining, or not entertaining is the wrong word. Very well done movie. Fallen Leaves for Phil, and I haven't watched that. Past Lives was amazing.
Non English language.
Yeah,
I mean, like 90% of the movies in English.
Yeah, but like I guess you have like 10% of the movie you can say.
Wow,
this happened before. Yeah, Io Capitano for Italy. I haven't watched that either. But Anatomy and Fall in Zone of Interest.
Anatomy and Fall went in huge. Submitted by the way for foreign language at the Oscars. Mm. Fucking France, you dumb fucks. You dumb fucks. They submitted Taste of Things Taste of Everything.
Yeah,
what are you doing? Hopefully they get nommed for Best Picture, but it's a tight year.
Yeah.
Did Godzilla miss the deadline? No, it's just not what Japan submitted, I don't think.
They should have.
I think they submitted Monster.
It's crazy. The pervasiveness of Godzilla Minus One is crazy because I'm seeing it mentioned in spaces I wouldn't see. I wouldn't imagine it being. I saw like referenced by fucking like Tom Segura and Bobby Lee were talking about it. But it's crazy to see it in that world, people talking about it. It's just nuts.
Yeah, no, I really hope also. Same as Anatomy of a Fall. I hope Godzilla gets a Best Picture nominee. I hope it just ends up a nom for something.
Yeah.
Just get talked about at the Academy Awards for something.
Yeah. Even have the have his orchestra come out and play that theme.
Yeah. I mean, something.
That theme should be nominated for something, or should have been nominated.
The Divine.
It's nuts. So good. Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series. Ayoade Adebiri won for The Bear. Like we were talking about, like she was incredible. She was
good.
Really, really good. And she beat Natasha Lyonne for Poker Face, Quinita Brunson for Abbott Elementary, Rachel Brosnahan for Marvelous Miss Maisel. Probably the first time Rachel Brosnahan like hasn't won this, it feels like.
Yeah, she's been on a run.
Selena Gomez for Only Murders and Elle Fanning for The Great. I want to throw out a shout out. The Great is incredible. It's really, really funny, very quick, very smart. It's just not enough people watched it.
Yeah, they also did something this final season that pissed everyone off, but
yeah.
I love that show. If you watch The Favorite,
Yeah, very.
If you've ever seen The Favorite and you like that, yeah, definitely check out The Great, because it's, yeah, very similar vibes, very funny.
Yeah, and I would say that Etta Beery is about as good as it gets in this category.
Yeah.
Abbott Elementary, also very funny. Marvelous Miss Maisel, still haven't gotten to it.
It's good, but I think it, like, the first season's really good, and then every season after gets very repetitive, and the plot kind of doesn't move, and you're just like, ugh.
Every time I see
a clip of it, talky too. It's like watching a Sorkin, like, anything. It's like watching The Newsroom at points.
Every time I see a clip of it on TikTok or whatever, it's just like some, it'll be like Zach Levi kind of, "Hey, see, what are you doing with my babe? Hey, that's my name."
It's like the Mid-Atlantic accent. Yeah, yeah. Brosnahan fucking has that going the whole time.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I need some time before I start that.
Tony Shalhoub's awesome though. Every time they go to his character, I love it.
Tony Shalhoub's always awesome. He's great in everything he does. Speaking of what, they're making a Monk movie, or they made a Monk movie that came out.
Oh, they did?
No one told me that. I feel like I should have been top of the list. I also rewatched, well, I guess it was just on, Pain and Gain recently. Pain and Gain, very funny. Best performance by an actor in a television series drama. Kieran Culkin won for Succession. This was the Succession category, as is most of the drama ones. Beat Brian Cox for Succession. Jeremy Strong for Succession. Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us. Gary Oldman, Slow Horses. Gary Oldman, what the fuck was he looking like last night?
I didn't even see him.
Looked bizarro. He had like this like French braids, and it was really weird to look at. And then Dominic West for The Crown. Again, haven't watched this recent season of The Crown, but obviously this was Succession's category to lose. Pedro Pascal was awesome though.
Yeah, he was. I could see him winning the Emmy. But yeah, no, Kieran Culkin, I do think, was best on the year. Brian Cox being in there is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Which, if you watch the most recent season of Succession, you'll understand why.
Yeah. He was unreal. Yeah, I would say he was like more so than McFadden. That was his season as far as like, yeah. I'm thinking like whose performance stands out. It was his.
He was on another level.
Yeah, for sure. Best motion picture animated, Boy and the Heron one, which is awesome.
Awesome, but very surprising.
Yes. Beating out Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is crazy. Beating Super Mario Bros., Elemental, Wish, and Suzume. Suzume. I feel like we both like Suzume more than Boy and the Heron this year, but Miyazaki getting a win is always great for us.
Yeah, great. I'm not going to be mad about it, but I do think I wouldn't have given it to Boy and the Heron. I would have stuck with Across the Spider-Verse, which sounds like a normie pick, but if you're going to award animation, I mean, they did things that just...
They're
10 years ahead of the rest of the industry.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of... I've rewatched it over break with my mom. And even she was able to like look at it and be like, what the fuck? Like,
how is this possible?
Yeah. I mean, it is truly, yeah, it's jarring to look at almost.
Kind of a Suzume one though. Would have been cool. Suzume is so good.
Yeah. I rewatched Suzume like 2 months ago because it's on Crunchyroll now.
Yeah. And
I think it's quite a bit better than Boy and the Heron. Yeah, if we're talking about like really what came good. Out of Japan this year. Yeah. It's
really fucking good.
Just tighter than what Boy and the Heron was.
Best director, motion picture, Nolan won for Oppenheimer, beat Scorsese, Gerwig, Lanthimos, Cooper, and Song. I feel like the only other person they would have given this to is probably Scorsese, like out of this group.
This will be the one where they're like, we can get Nolan his Oscar.
His thing.
We're going to give it to him now. So we don't know if we're going to be able to. I think he'll have more chances, but they're going to say he's been around 20 years and, you know, nominated a couple of times. We're going to give it to him now.
Yeah, and good, because his direction of...
And I think he deserves it, too, just to be clear. I do think that's a very deserving winner.
That was an unbelievably good movie, and he was obviously the helmet. And I think it was, for the big thing for us watching that, I think a thing to understand with Nolan is, think about every movie he's made before this, and how different it was from Oppenheimer. Like, these big, grander entertainment movies, like the Batman trilogy, like Interstellar, like even Tenet, like all these other ones, there's big scale thought process movies. And then there's other ones even that are more on the entertainment level, like The Prestige and shit like that. And then like, this is just it's a fucking biopic about a scientist. And it is one of the most entertaining movies of the year. And it is unbelievably well acted. He gets like the career best performance out of every actor involved in it. And there's like 50 actors with speaking lines. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy achievement. So yeah, that is huge, and I think well deserved. And I think pretty much everyone here was great too, though, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with anyone in the category winning, to be honest.
Cooper was great.
Greta Wooding would be a surprise, but I still think she did a great job.
Celine Song was awesome in Past Lives, out of nowhere. Yeah. Great.
Bradley Cooper winning wouldn't, I mean, that would bother me, actually. Now that I think
about it. Out of this grouping, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, they're all good.
Yes.
I guess. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Emma Stone for Poor Things wins. For it beats Margot Robbie for Barbie. Natalie Portman in May, December. Fantasia Barrino in Color Purple. Alma Poitsy. That feels wrong.
Nailed it.
Was right?
I don't know.
And O with the umlaut thing. I don't know how you do that. We maybe for her Fallen Leaves. Jennifer Lawrence for No Hard Feelings. Yeah. I mean, musical, comedy, as far as like these perform, like beat for beat performance. Yeah. Emma Stone for Poor Things fits.
Yeah.
It's the better version of Margot Robbie and Barbie.
Yeah, it was.
Not as entertaining, but yeah.
I think Margot Robbie is just as good, though. Yeah. Just a different movie.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. This is the one I think is the easier one to be like, that's the obvious winner out of this grouping.
Mm-hmm.
Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. Cillian Murphy wins for Oppenheimer.
That's
is he looking a little pale or something yesterday? He looked weird.
I think he's just looks like that, to be honest.
I don't know. He looked like odd. I don't know if
his red carpet pictures are always. So when I had to pull him up on Getty, he's kind of terrified to look at. To be honest. Yeah, like he's like simultaneously like one of the most handsome guys you've ever seen, and like just kind of terrifying to look at because his eyes are so blue. Like, it looks like he's looking through you.
Yeah. Beat Bradley Cooper for Maestro. Leonardo DiCaprio for Killers of the Flower Moon. Coleman Domingo for Rustin. Andrew Scott for All of Us Strangers, and Barry Keoghan for Saltburn. Out of this grouping, I think he's the obvious winner. DiCaprio was awesome. I think when we talked about our Killers of the Flower Moon review, I don't think that's like the best performance of his career or anything. I think he was really good, but it's just pretty par for the course for him. Coleman Domingo is awesome. I think he's one of the sneaky best actors working right now, but it's just he needs to always be in the right. Like, they need to use him right.
Someone said, if you're going to recast Kang and you're going to stick to this Kang thing, Coleman Domingo.
He'd be so good. He's like one of the, but he's so theatrical. You know what I mean? Like, he's a big stage guy. He's the stage actor. But every time, like, think about that diner scene in Euphoria. He's so good.
Euphoria.
Oh, he's so good in it. He's good in everything, but like, man, he rocks. And
him in what's it called? The Color Purple. He was, I mean, if you want to get a villain, fucked dude, up. He was a fucking fucked evil. Let's talk about characters you hate. Holy shit. He played a great evil bastard.
Yeah. Andrew, you watched All of Us Strangers.
Yeah, I saw last night. He's very good in it. All of Us Strangers, I didn't like it as much as other people have liked it. Kind of confusing to me, to be honest. But he's good.
Barry Keoghan and Saltburn, I think, deserves to be nominated. I don't think I would have it winning versus most of these.
I'm surprised it didn't go into the comedy category, to be honest.
That's more of a comedy movie. But
yes.
And then Best Original Score goes to Goranson for Oppenheimer. Yeah. Well-deserved, I think, versus these other grouping or other movies. Beats Killers of the Flower Moon, Zone of Interest, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Poor Things, and The Boy and the Heron. Boy and the Heron is the only one other one I would go close to it, but that's still like Hisashi has so many great soundtracks. I don't think that comes close to the top of his list. But man, Oppenheimer's was really good and just like boom in your face. And to be in that spot and have to replace Hans Zimmer as Nolan's guy and to deliver is crazy.
And I think we got to talk about Goranson being the guy now.
Yeah.
I think he might be the guy. As much as you guys, I know the internet loves Hans Zimmer and for a good reason. Hans Zimmer's a legend.
Yeah.
I think it's Goranson's time. I think he is officially like the guy in the industry.
Yeah, Williams is like on the road out.
Yes. Like, Zimmer is still good, but I think he's very much taking the back seat on his work where he just kind of distributes.
I think Goranson is the guy. Like, there are other composers out there that I would say are up near the top of my list as being like near my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, The Splot, so good. Ramin Djawadi, really good. Like, there's a lot of other ones that are really good, but Goranson is like, when I hear Goranson is on the soundtrack for a movie, I am extremely excited.
He does just very, like, a lot of composers you'll notice, like, their shit just sounds very similar from movie to movie.
Yeah.
His stuff sounds wildly different from project to project. Like, he does a great job of, like, creating some new atmosphere. Bertel's
right up there.
Yeah, Bertel's great.
He's unbelievable. I was just talking to someone. He did, Beale Street Could Talk, right? And which didn't get nominated for anything. And that's one of the best, most beautiful soundtracks I've ever heard in my life. Or themes, I guess. Michael Giacchino is up there too, but he's for a specific type of project.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's good when you have to do something like Incredibles, but like there's a different level of excitement depending on what type of movie it is. If you say any sort of drama, I'm getting Goranson, I'm very pumped up for it. Or honestly, sci-fi too now. Best original song, What Was I Made For? One, Billie Eilish beats
Stupid.
Dance the Night.
It's going to win just because it has the industry push.
Yeah.
Like, I think that song fucking sucks, but
I don't know what else wins here other than I'm Just Ken, but that's not really like
a Dance the Night's a banger. Come on. A Dua Lipa song is catchy as hell.
I don't even remember. Which one is that?
Dance the Night Away.
Wait, is that the one? Is Issa Rae singing it? Or no?
No, it's Dua Lipa. It's when they like have like a little dance party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now watch me dance. Dance the night.
Oh, that was a good one, yeah. I don't even remember what was I Made For was. Was that the one at the end?
Yeah. It's very Billie Eilish song. Yeah, she just whispers. Yeah, she whispers like a motherfucker. She
comes up with that fucking weirdo. Phineas.
Phineas. Fucking Phineas, dude. Always just the there. Fact that she's still dragging her brother up there, which I guess helps her write the songs or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Cinematic box office achievement. Barbie wins versus
this stupid ass category.
Oppenheimer, Spider-Man, Guardians, Super Mario Bros, John Wick Chapter 4, Mission Impossible,
Taylor Swift's
Eras Tour.
Mark Ronson made every other song in the nomination category. I didn't know that.
Ooh.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so Barbie wins. This was an awkward award.
So awkward.
Very uncomfortable. Everyone on stage was like very much like, this is not a real.
Yeah.
We know this isn't real.
Which and Margo like tried to make the best of it. She gave it there. Like, she's very good with, like, obviously in front of people. She's like, yeah, this is for movie fans. Like, thank you. But like, everyone in this place was like, what the fuck is this award?
I think if you're going to do a fake award like this, just give it to Barbenheimer. That's the box office achievement.
Yeah.
Just make it a combined. Who would care? Everyone would like that. You know what I mean?
If you got, if you put Greta Gerwig and Christopher Nolan in there up on stage, like accepting the award on behalf of the industry.
So yeah.
Like, thank you for coming out this summer, supporting both of our movies. Like, people would have loved that.
Exactly. And because that was, as far as like the biggest biggest things in the Hollywood sphere, that was like the most impact. Like, Barbenheimer was that.
Yeah.
So to give them like some sort of recognition would be great. And no one, it's not like you're stealing an award from someone else with cinematic box office achievement. No one gives a fuck about that. It's a fake award. Best television limited series, Beef wins. We were talking about before, Beef's gonna win everything. Yeah. Like this. And it beat basically every other limited series we were talking about before with the actor category. Lessons in Chemistry, Daisy Jones and the Six, All the Light We Cannot See, Fellow Travelers, and Fargo. I think Beef's easily the best.
Beef, yeah, Beef's gonna be sweet.
Really, really, really good. How does box office bomb?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. It did technically, I don't know if it reached bomb status, but I don't think it made money.
And you know why it bombed? It's because it went up against Barbenheimer.
Yeah, the idiots, they said, fuck August. We're just going to release a weekend before the biggest movie event of the year.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. But yeah, the Barbenheimer should have just been in a combined award.
And Andrew, to answer your question, no, that's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, that was the first. Yeah. Cruise certain news, stop using his stunt ass.
Yeah, that honestly probably is what it is. Yeah. Like, they weren't able to give it to Top Gun last year. And so they're like, fuck it. Let's just bring it back out.
Best television series, musical or comedy, The Bear won, beat Ted Lasso, Abbott Elementary, Jury Duty, Only Murders in the Building, and Barry. I think Barry easily, just qualitatively, regardless of the genre thing, qualitatively the best out of those shows.
Yeah, you just can't get upset about the genre stuff here.
Yeah. If you're going just beat for beat, what is the better show? It is The Bear. No question. Best performance by an actress in a drama series, that is, Sarah Snook for Succession, beats Bella Ramsey, Helen Mirren, Kerry Russell, Emma Stone, and Imelda Staunton, for The Crown. Out of this grouping, the only two I've seen all of these except for The Crown, I would say easily the best is Sarah Snook, and then I would have Kerry Russell as a close second, because The Diplomat, more people got to watch The Diplomat. The Diplomat was a very good show, I think. And it's on Netflix. I think it got renewed for more seasons, too. Very, very underrated and entertaining, sort of like, procedural is the wrong word, but it's a very cool like show. And I think a lot of people would like it.
Yeah. I've also heard, and this is a show that I told you I haven't watched because it just doesn't seem like it's for me, but I have heard Emma Stone, as good as she is in Poor Things, even better in The Curse. I've heard she's fucking unbelievable. But
I'm about halfway through The Curse. I don't think so.
You don't think so? See, not everyone I know who's been watching.
Not compared to Poor Things.
Maybe not then. Yeah, Sarah Snook winning. Happy about it.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that's good.
All aboard the Shiv wagon.
Yeah. Oppenheimer will pass 1B at one point and they'll release. Yeah. They'll probably will. I wouldn't doubt that.
Oh, yeah. It's still at like 980 or whatever. Yeah, it'll hit a billion. They're re-releasing it this month, by the way.
Best television series drama, Succession wins, obviously. Beats The Last of Us, The Crown, Morning Show, Diplomat, and 1923. Again, Diplomat was awesome. 1923 is not... It's okay. It's not in this... Shouldn't be in this grouping. Morning Show, only Jeff D. Lowe watches that. The Crown... Haven't seen it yet, but people have been liking this new season. Last of Us was amazing. Really, really good show. But this was Succession's to lose.
Yeah, this is Succession year. Like, their final season. It's like Veep going out. It's like any big show going out. They're just going to pile them on. Mm-hmm. Give them as many as they can before they never have to see them again.
Exactly. Kind of like with the Veep thing.
Yeah.
They can do the same sort of deal. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Paul Giamatti wins for The Holdovers. Beats Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction, which is very... He was very good in that.
He was
that
good. Movie, I saw that Friday. Better. Yeah.
I wish the movie was better. He was really good.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that at some point, because that third act, I just did not care for at all.
Matt Damon in Air, Joaquin Phoenix in Beau Is Afraid, Timothée Chalamet in Wonka, and Nicolas Cage in Dream Scenario. Giamatti, I would say, out of this grouping, another very weak grouping, I would say, yeah, Giamatti's the best out of this, no question.
Yeah, the best actor category is always kind of, they're always weak for some reason, comparatively to best supporting.
Yeah, Matt Damon just played Matt Damon in Air. He was just literally just
charismatic Matt Damon.
He just was reading the lines as Matt Damon. He was that, and he looked like Matt Damon. He didn't, no costume change, not really anything. Well, he wore slightly bigger hair,
a little bit fatter. They gave him a little bit of a
slightly fatter, and like that was, but it was just Matt Damon. Yeah,
that very vanilla movie.
Maybe the most vanilla of the last year, and which sometimes makes
vanilla's good. Yeah, vanilla's good. Vanilla's good. But yeah.
No. It's just like, and it's not to say that performance is bad. It's just like when you come to award season, you don't expect to see that up there. Joaquin Phoenix was really good in Beau Is Afraid, but that's just a freaky fucking movie, man. It's just tough to.
I'm just out on that movie.
I like it still. Timothée Chalamet and Wonka. Timothée Chalamet was. We talked about this in the review. It's just like it was good to see him do that, but I don't know.
Wait, and Timothée Chalamet and Wonka?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he wasn't winning that.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage in Dream Scenario. I'm behind on that.
For Paula G.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Dream Scenario.
Me neither. Best motion picture, musical, or comedy. Poor Things wins, beats Barbie, American Fiction, The Holdovers, May, December, and Air.
Yeah.
This grouping? Yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
I would have been fine with Holdovers or Barbie winning too, but Poor Things feels like they got it right.
Poor Things was out of this, I would say, the most unique and, but no question, the most original. Like,
yeah,
you know, like I know you like The Holdovers more than I did. I still think The Holdovers is just like such a predictable top to bottom movie, which is okay because it's acted so like I would say there's no weaknesses outside of that, but it's just like you look at Poor Things and what they're able to do, it's unreal. In May, December, and Air,
Performance vehicle.
And Air is just so vanilla. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Lily Gladstone won for Killers of the Flower Moon. Beat Carey Mulligan in Maestro. Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall. Annette Bening in Naiad. Greta Lee in Past Lives. And Kaylee Spaney in Priscilla. Gladstone was pretty much the obvious. I feel like the obvious. Maybe I would love.
I'm happy for her. Yeah. And yeah, obviously the betting favorite, but there are like three other people there. I would have picked like three other people over, but happy for her.
Very strong category.
Yes.
This year.
Like I would have probably gotten Hüller.
Yeah.
One.
I would say Hüller, Greta Lee's up there. Spaney was really good
too. I think Carey Mulligan was very fucking good in that movie too. As like annoying as the movie is, like she's very good.
Yeah.
Hey, some people really have trouble like separating the performance from the actual movie sometimes. And I'm like, that's not what they're grading on the movie.
Yeah. And then best motion picture drama, Oppenheimer wins, beats Killers of Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Zone of Interest, Anatomy of a Fall. Another one where it's like the obvious betting favorite. And this is another stronger category with the exception of all of these, I would say are among my favorite movies of the year, except for Maestro. Maestro is like, I think a good movie that people are shitting on it for.
Yeah, people are just being really fucking weird about it.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
The internet has decided that Bradley Cooper is the worst person in the world for wanting to win an award in his field, be recognized as the best in his field. It's like, oh, man, this guy wants to win. This guy wants to try. Fuck him.
So I think, again, all these very good movies. I'd highly recommend these to anybody. Well, any of these to anybody, except for Killers of the Flower Moon, maybe is like the only one where I'm like, you need to be in the right, like, you need time for this.
Zone of Interest, I think you gotta give a trigger warning on that one. That one.
Well, was, that alone is in the title. Like when you hear Scorsese's doing a big picture in Oklahoma or whatever, like, yeah, I'm going to go watch that. But when you hear like, hey, big Nazi movie, like, yeah, you know what you're going into.
Set in Auschwitz. Yes.
Yeah, you know you're seeing a Nazi movie, at least.
That's one of the most haunting things I've seen.
Yeah, it was ever. A fucked up one. That's how good it was. But yeah, I think Oppenheimer clear winner here. It is unbelievable. I can't wait to rewatch it. I haven't seen it since the last time I saw it in theaters, which is the second time I watched it.
I watched it over break with my dad and my mom, and they loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. That's just a good, when your mom and dad love it, you know it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Once you can get them on like the best picture train, you're like, all right, good movie. Yeah.
And to wrap it up, Oppenheimer won 5 awards. Succession swept every category it was nominated in. Anatomy of Fall, a lot of upsets. And
man, the box office achievement.
Box office achievement is just a weird ad. So I think the big
Joe Coy.
If you're talking about winners and losers here, Anatomy of Fall, big winner, big loser, Joe Coy.
Yeah.
And also, because Joe Coy, he's still trending right now.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be looking for work after this. That's a tough.
No, because you know what he's going to do? He's going to do what every comedian does. He's going to do a special all about this.
That's true.
He's going to do a special about this.
Maybe he's galaxy branding it and he planned this bomb, and so everyone's going to watch his next special.
Like the Chris Rock one, which is horrible. Horrible. The first time we talked about this, the slap.
JC, you're a terrible person if you're telling people to watch Beau's Afraid Over a Flower Moon.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's such a... You need to be so certain about the type of person you're talking to if you're recommending Beau's Afraid.
Yeah.
But I think he's just going to be in his next special. That's going to be his whole bit. It's going to be, yeah, I got 10 days notice and I wrote all these jokes, but I would have been canceled if I said them. Oh, I would have got canceled if I said them, so I had to do all these other jokes that they wrote for me. And yeah, just brutal. Absolutely brutal stuff. But yeah, so that's the Golden Globes. Normally, again, not a thing where we take a lot of salt in it. This is kind of like this big party and everything like that.
Yeah, it's not a predictor but for Oscars. To
talk about these movies.
From what I understand, it's like the least predictor.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure BAFTAs are the number one.
BAFTAs, yeah, for sure.
Which those are in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll do a react to that too, probably.
Yeah.
Obviously not as big of a night. Or big of a presentation, sure. But we'll talk about
it. Yeah, exactly. We're just wrapping up.
We're wrapping up. No, you're good.
That's all right. But yeah, so that's what other shows do you think have the potential sweep in the future? That's like, you know it when you see it, like Succession.
Yeah, probably whenever The Bear wraps up. Yeah. I could see that being one.
Based on its current trajectory, yeah.
Whenever The Last of Us starts to wrap up.
Yeah.
I could see that.
It needs to be. I feel like the only shows that manage to do shit like this are shit like Marvelous Miss Maisel, Succession, and Veep, where they all kind of fit in that same vein of show where it's like really good drama that also has good comedy. You know what I mean?
That's just accessible, like very prestige shit that's accessible to everyone.
Yeah, I don't know what show that would be, but yeah, we'll do some stuff with the BAFTAs as well. But
Curb will probably sweep for the final season.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Outside of that, there's not a. Fights brought this up last night on Twitter, and he said this Golden Globes has proven that, like, great year for movies, bad year for TV. It was a bad year. It was a bad year for TV, and it may just be because I didn't watch as much as I usually do, but I do feel like there was not,
compared to last year, or like the year before,
nearly as much like good stuff coming out like on the small screen.
I will say, and this is no spoilers, people are, unless there are some big changes that they make, people are going to very much dislike season 2, and I don't know how they navigate season 2. I just don't know. I don't know what you do.
Who's playing Abby?
I don't think they've cast her yet. They said they were trying to get.
It's gotta be a role no one wants.
Yeah, no, I did a blog about it because they're saying they had a lot of interest in one person.
How tight do you think the Oppenheimer Oscar race will be versus Poor Things? Not very. I think Oppenheimer on paper just has so much going for it for the Oscars before you get to the fact that it's a $1 billion movie. It's, I think, a lock, as locky as it's been in a long time.
Yeah. I think, who was it? Oh, it was Caitlin Dever.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Just don't. I wouldn't take that.
Do not. That role is going to be one of the most, whoever picks or plays the role of Abby is going to be, if they do it the way it is supposed to be, they will be one of the most hated people.
They should get that TV. They should get that girl from that new Kristen Stewart movie. It's coming out in like a few months. The big Jack bodybuilder girl.
Oh yeah.
She'd be perfect.
You got it. And you also have to pick someone that has no social media, because they are going to get fucking toasted. And because this people are really stupid with this shit. They can't disassociate the actress with the part. That whoever plays Abby is going to get absolutely fucking toasted. Like when you think of like the worst backlash someone's gotten from a role, like what in like I'm trying to think like who would it be? Would it be fucking like Rose in like Star Wars or some shit? Like because she got shredded for no fucking reason at all. Like shit, stuff like that, or maybe Game of Thrones late season stuff. Like it's going to be bad. Being real bad.
Gina Carino would actually be a
Gina Carino would be perfect. She wouldn't give a shit. Yeah,
actually, well, she's too old now, but
yeah, way far too old. She's supposed to, you gotta be someone like young, like 25.
Not really, to be honest. No,
not the way it's current trajectory or how it is so far.
House of Dragon has a chance to sweep maybe next year, mm-hmm. depending on like how good this upcoming season is. But based on the first season, I wouldn't say it's going to be a sweeper at any point. Yeah.
Great movie. I agree.
Oh boy. It's nuts.
That's when it fucks you up bad the first time you see it. Whatever you do.
I saw when they did the re-release last year, I did that in theaters and there were some people in the theater who hadn't seen it before. And it was like, you could tell they were like so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Just don't watch the Spike Lee one either. People forget like that was a wild thing to try to remake in an American lens.
Hey, you see Elizabeth Olsen naked.
That was a bad movie. Bad movie. But yeah, so that's our recap of Golden Globes. We'll come back later this week after the bracket. Let's do.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll work some out. We should do a movie.
Yeah, Kelly just tried to come in here. I've been telling Kelly we'll do Poor Things.
Yeah,
we should do Poor Things with.
We'll do something with Kelly. Yeah,
we should get fights in here too. He's seen a lot of stuff this year.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll be back later. And we'll do something for the Oscars. We'll do maybe a little something for the Baptists as well. But yeah, I'll see you guys later.
See ya.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
Hey LCB listeners, we're going to take a quick break for a message from one of our partners.
The all-new Whoop is here, now more advanced than ever. Train smarter, sleep deeper, recover faster. Extend your healthy years, understand your cycle phases. Now 7% smaller with 14 plus days of battery life. So your data never stops, and neither do you. Power your best performance with memberships made for every goal. Join Whoop today.
All right, now back to the episode.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stell Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
Whoop. Sleep better, train smarter, recover faster, and feel healthier. Understand and optimize your sleep. Get coaching and insights for every age, stage, and cycle. Track over 140 habits. Get a 360 view of your training and workouts. Never miss a second of data with a wireless and waterproof charger. Expect all new features all the time.